Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast to many of you out there. And we have another show today, an afternoon show. And I know you're thinking, why is she doing this? Well, because I like to be able to do any time that's needed. And you know me, whatever is required of me, I will do so long as I would probably even do them at midnight. But anyways, we have a great show again today. Next week, it will be back to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I want to also let everybody know about the magazine that's going to be going up on October 1st. That's mysticlivingtoday.com. Send your stuff to me. There's a link on the site where you can submit. You know, I take articles, poems, excerpts from books, you know, and I'll write you back if I need anything, more information. There is no word count. I can just do whatever I want. Since I own it, I can do whatever I want, which is the most wonderful thing in the world. And also my other site, which is Stars with a Z, psychics.com. Everybody knows about that, which is about, just turned 7 years old. You can go there. And I have beautiful advisors. They're not, it's not a hokey site. It's not a do-do-do-do kind of site. It's just meaningful. I've interviewed them all myself, and they're wonderful. I have like a family. I have people that surround me that I always call people my champions that love me, and all these people love me. And if I need them, you know, for anything, can you do this? Can you do that? Well, they're there. So right now I want to introduce our guest for today. Her name is Andrea Adler. And she's a TV and Broadway actress, a journalist. She's the founder of HolisticPR.com, and she's working on a screenplay. And let's welcome her. Hi, Andrea. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you? Thank you so much for the invitation to be on your show.
You're most welcome. I'm doing good. You know, you can hear the level that I will – when I start to talk to you, my frequency goes up because I love doing this. It's just a passion that I have, one of my passions. But so I would like to start, I think, at the very beginning of this awesome career that you've had. I mean, you have done so much. For one thing, you were on some TV shows, the Bob Newhart. You were on Executive Suite, Steubenville, The Bronx, and Policewoman. Now, people that are listening, I want to say to you, how many people have not watched the Bob Newhart show in their life or Policewoman? I know I have. Raise your hands, because we all have. So tell me, how did your career get started? Let's just start a little bit from the beginning so that they know who you are and take it up to where you are now.
Well, it actually started when I was in high school. I was very drawn to the kinesthetic experience of using the body, mind, and spirit in an activity. And when I first started to audition for plays in high school, I realized that I could use all of those elements, and that excited me more than anything. And then, you know, I started to direct shows in high school and perform, and I really got struck by the bug. And I was also going through a lot of turmoil in my childhood, so it became very therapeutic for me to use my emotional stuff on stage, where I felt very safe. Actually, it was the safest place I felt. And just, you know, I just decided to create a career using those gifts, and moved to California after high school and a few years of college, which seemed to me a waste of time because I knew what I wanted to do. So I moved to California and really started to get, I was very serious about my career and took some very great classes with Stella Adler and Lee Strasberg and the Groundlings. And it just, you know, catapulted me to Broadway. And
it's amazing, you know, but you know what? I want to interrupt you and tell you that everybody that I have interviewed thus far had the inkling when they were in school, when they were young. I mean, they're not, you know, like me. I mean, I'm writing a story, but I mean, my God, I'm certainly not in high school, and it's been years. But it just tells me that there. It's almost like that people like yourself, and they become really prominent in their field. And it's been everybody that I've interviewed so far has really started at a very young age, and many of them had traumatic lives as a child. So they were looking for I guess what you would say, another place to go to feel safe. They got the bug, and you really got the bug, didn't you?
Well, yeah, it became a huge outlet, you know, and still is an outlet for many actors. That's why they do what they do. However, it was a career challenge, you know, and when I was on Broadway, I began to audition for soap operas. And during one audition, I heard the words very quietly inside, no more repeating other people's words. And I literally dropped the script. And I went, whoa, what's that about? And I had been studying meditation for years, and it was like I was being called to go to India. So the casting director said, well, does that mean you want the part because you're perfect? You know, she thought I was so excited that I just dropped the script. And I went, no, I think I'm going to India. She says, well, I don't think we can wait for you to come back. I said, I don't think you should. So that sort of is my career as a performer and curtailed me into writing. And actually, that's how it's a long story, but I started doing, I was a journalist, and I started promoting people as I wrote about them, and then I became a journalist and a PR person and started my PR firm. And I actually pioneered holistic marketing in the early 80s when everyone thought holistic marketing was an oxymoron, you know, spiritual holistic marketing.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
The people that I was representing, the holistic practitioners, holistic therapeutic community, was very turned off from anything having to do with PR marketing. And my mission was to show them how it was could become a spiritual exercise and a wonderful opportunity for them to use their voices. However, one amazing thing happened when I did a workshop in upstate New York where I felt every woman that was in that audience had gone through the Salem witch trials, that they were witches in a past life. Honest to God, that was my experience. And I was there to help them move through that throat chakra and be fearless with their gifts and be able to articulate their modality. And
they couldn't be heard during the trials. They couldn't be heard at all.
Exactly. They were cut off. You know, they were hung.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, my God, is this my mission here? And it was for several years. So at first, the first book I wrote was PR for the Holistic Healer, and nobody was interested because these guys were not interested in PR because it had such a bad reputation. So I went, I have the wrong title. So I wrote the book Creating an Abundant Practice, and that book took me around the world. And I offered a workshop called The Tao of Marketing. Like, this is the way. And when I realized this interpretation of marketing that I had created would be beneficial for any business. And then I sat down and wrote The Science of Spiritual Marketing while I was in Silicon Alley in New York promoting the whole .com industry that was popping. So this book literally took me around the world, upside down, inside out. And all the while, since I was in my 20s, I had a story that was bubbling up inside me that I kept writing about in little, you know, ways, little time periods. And then it just took me over. And I had to sit down and write the novel, Pushing Upward, which is now going to be a film.
That's exciting. I'm looking at it on your site here, and that's available. All your stuff is available, I'm assuming, on Amazon. So you see, it sounds like your light. It didn't do a stop. I mean, you were like just continually moving along. Where some people, you know, they get these ideas, but you are being pushed to move forth and do a lot of things, and you have done a lot of things. It's quite impressive to me.
You know, Natalie, I'm sure you're aware of this. People on a true spiritual path are listening to a different drum.
They're not listening
to, you know, what's outside of them. If they're really on a path and on a journey of spiritual growth and evolution, they have to really listen to what their dharma is. And my dharma has always been this you know, activity of serial entrepreneur, moving from one thing to the next, and it, you know, my bio is ridiculous, but that I've just been moving in and out of things and places, and now I've been plopped down in Thousand Oaks, California, to rewrite the screenplay, because the book and the screenplay and the film are going to be a bit different. The time periods are going to change because of what's going on with the zeitgeist right now. So the book was written about the 70s and the pureness of the 70s and the spiritual revolution of the 70s and the aftermath of the Vietnam War and all that great, those great cool things that were happening. And what I loved about writing the book and why I won an award for the book and why Hay House picked it up as one of their first fiction books out of their gate was because I really captured the 70s, because I loved it so much.
And for those who don't know what the 70s were like, it was totally different. Yeah, it was the word, the spoken word. It wasn't the internet. It wasn't cell phones. It was groups getting together to speak their mind. And some were listened to, some were not, as we know.
And the challenges were different. You know, we had to look for the quarters to use the payphone. We had to, you know, sit in the bathroom, try to get our phone to reach, you know, so we could sit on the toilet.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. They were with cords. So then you would end up getting these 20-foot cords, spiral cords. And I was so glad to have that, because I could wrap myself. I could go outside and sit on the porch. I mean, I loved it.
Exactly.
Yeah, people listening, I'm sure, that are thinking, what? Yeah, that's true.
So now I have some very interested producers who I am negotiating with and talking with, who would like to, and it was an idea I had several years ago as well, and that was to make this young girl Asian American instead of this young girl from the U.S. who discovers. So the book, let me just give you the soundbite and your audience, the soundbite for the book. 21-year-old Sandra Billings faces this epic year when she discovers the I Ching, the ancient Chinese oracle. And she uses it to navigate a torrid love affair, demons from the past, and her life as an actress in L.A. She places an ad in the L.A. Times, drama student in need of room and board in exchange for housekeeping. She meets some crazy, dubious men, a few zany women, and ultimately meets this 80-year-old mysterious woman who she moves in with, and both their lives change. So we have that story in the book and my original screenplay. And now we are thinking about turning that young girl into Asian American.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of the rich, crazy, you know, girl movie, but just because of the cultural challenge that people have when they come from other countries, especially from China. And because this is about the I Ching and the magnificent divination tool that the I Ching is and has
exactly
been for me.
Exactly, it's their beliefs, exactly. It's beautiful, it's perfect.
She discovers her own heritage. And so I'm now doing a rewrite on that screenplay to turn it into present day. So the movie will be about that, and the book will be about the 70s. So that, you know, will make it an interesting conversation. In fact, my mentor, Jerry DePago, who wrote Phenomenon, Message in a Bottle, Instinct, The Forgotten with Julianne Moore, Words and Pictures with Juliette Binoche and Clive Owens, very experienced screenwriter. He's sort of looking over my material. He took the book, Ishmael. I don't know if you remember Ishmael. It's an iconic book.
I've heard of it, but I've never looked at it.
Oh, it's an amazing book that's about this gorilla who's a guru, who places an ad in the paper looking for a disciple. Now, this is an amazing book that I read way after I wrote my story, and I went, oh, my God, this is so cool. Well, how do you make a movie out of that without turning it into a cartoon? Because, you know, is he really going to create a gorilla? So this adaptation of that book turned into the movie Instinct with Anthony Hopkins. That is an amazing adaptation. So
I love him.
is nothing compared to what he had to do with that adaptation. So I think it'll be an interesting conversation and interesting for people to see how we adapted that book into the film. So while, you know, there's periods of time that goes by when you're, you know, in between projects and waiting for the right producers to show up. And I was, you know, in Berkeley, California, moving 7 times because of the mold. So I had a very intense last 2 years. So I had to move to Southern California and knew it was time to get the movie off the ground. But the last 2 years, I also moved to Silicon Valley for 7 months because my writing partner in New York on this project, Sponda Cards for the Entrepreneurial Spirit, we need to sit and write. And I wanted to go to Silicon Valley to breathe in the conversations that they were having and not having about being entrepreneurs, startup, you know, brilliant, brilliant creators. I wanted to be in that milieu. So Sponda in Sanskrit means the pulsation before creation, that vibration that you feel before the idea manifests. It's a very unique Sanskrit word that when you meditate, you really understand and get in touch with. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to create a card deck, and now I call them a desktop oracle because I love oracles. The I Ching is an oracle. This card deck is an oracle. So this is 52 cards that have 52 aphorisms, one on each card, that bridges ancient wisdom and business acumen. And we wanted to create this deck because we've both been entrepreneurs for years, and you know what it's like to have to be a solopreneur, not have anybody to talk to. You're sitting at the desk. You have a horrible conversation on the phone, and you go, "Oy, what am I going to do?" And there's nobody to talk to. You pick a card. Or perhaps you have a conversation with your boss as an employee or your cohort, and you're not sure how to talk to them or how to deal with this situation. You pick a card. And the beauty of an oracle is divine intervention. That card either answers a question that you had or one that you hadn't thought that you had.
Bingo. Exactly. You know, in my world, I've dealt with a lot of different kinds of cards that were oracles that, I mean, you can go way back. I mean, I have my original deck that I created. I mean, it's just I put my own stuff on it in the beginning. And it'll answer time, contact, when, how, but yeah. You know, part of it is, now see, yours has developed both worlds almost. You've got a nice combo going there. Sitting on your coffee table. Yeah. You got a question? Let's ask the oracle. It's perfect.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
There wasn't a card.
I need to get a deck.
What's on Amazon, it's right there. You know, and I'm happy to send you a deck, too, for getting me on this show. I appreciate this. There really wasn't a card deck that bridged these two things. And people on a spiritual path can't deal with just the business acumen on its own. And business people are looking for ways to, you know, take their words to another level. So we're not moving from our knee-jerk reaction. How can we speak to people in a way that isn't confrontational, that isn't sarcastic, that, you know, we can, you know, create these win-win situations, that we really looked at each and every conundrum that possibly could be had and incorporated them in the deck and we actually sat in meditation for days working on each card. How can we take that situation to the next level? For instance, I'm enamored by Steve Jobs and Elon Musk. I mean, these guys are changing the world. And yet, I wanted to create a card that had the genius paradox. Because imagine working for one of these guys, you know, who we want to put on pedestals, and they belong there on some level, but they're still human beings. And, you know...
Yeah.
They're unreasonable at times, and they're making unreasonable time frames for us to finish our work, or whatever it is, how do we deal with that situation? So the card talks about the issue through an aphorism or a haiku, and then they look. You can look in the booklet to see the explanation of that and what the takeaway is, how you deal with that situation. So I can give you an example of one of the cards.
Please.
Let me see.
There's a soul involvement there, too. I can feel something there, a soul involvement. Like, you know, it's coming from way within. For me, it is. That's how I deal with things. But
so here's a card called Steer Your Ship. When you steer a ship, you partner with the water. There's an ebb and flow. Instead of forcing your influence, navigate in partnership. Then you look up at the booklet and it says, pushing, pulling, and forcing your way expends useless energy. Step back and observe the flow before taking any action. When you steer your ship in harmony with your inner sponda, friction starts to dissipate. The subtle vibration becomes a gentle nudge reminding you to let go. Listen closely. Instead of forcing your will or influence, allow yourself to be steered toward your desired result gracefully. And the takeaway is, close your eyes and think of a time you pushed for control. How did you feel? Did you get what you wanted?
Of course not.
Return to the experience and imagine not pushing. Instead, feel yourself move in harmony with your sponda, taking direction from the ebb and flow of its course. And we know what that's like when we've, you know, been with people or team members and we're pushing our agenda. You know, we have a president that's pushing his agenda. Well, how many people really believe in his agenda or his push instead of getting collaboration from his team, even though he keeps firing everybody every minute? But, you know, it's really about being in the flow, getting our information out there, and just navigating the waters of that team. And so as a result of these cards, I wanted to create, because I love workshops, so I created this companion workshop to go with the cards that I'm now introducing to companies called Ignite Your Genius with Sponda Meditation and Improvisational Theater Games. And I'll tell you, I did this workshop in Silicon Alley a couple times, and it blew them away because it moved them out of their heads and into their bodies.
And we know how difficult that is, because you get set on a mission, no matter what it is, you think by pushing really hard, it's going to make it happen faster. But all that it does is it puts up the stop sign. It doesn't go anywhere. I've been working with things because of the sites that I own and the people that I deal with. And, when you do what I do, you have to sit back and look at how the other person is seeing things and how you respond. Well, even if it's like going to a job interview. I used this yesterday. You know you want the job. You know you're qualified for it. But like you said, pushing is not going to work. It's not going to make that man or woman hire you or put in a good word for you. You just have to just do the interview, sit and be calm. Don't worry about it. Walk out the door and let it go.
Yeah, you do your best.
Exactly. You could do it in any area of your life, and that's true. Yeah. But it's all in your round cards, which are so cool. I'm looking at them right now. And I did it take a long time to put these cards together? I mean, did you have the idea?
Yeah. Many of the cards are based on my book, The Science of Spiritual Marketing, or on conversations I listened to while living in Silicon Valley. And then, you know, our combined experience, Sheila's experience, my experience with working with entrepreneurs and their struggles and challenges. And I tell you, the combination, you know, in terms of the workshop, of meditation and improvisational theater is truly a tested recipe for to fly, creativity to soar, because once these participants go deeper into the process, they're challenged emotionally, intellectually, while having outrageous fun, you know?
Right.
So first,
oh, yeah. I mean, you know, what I started 20 years ago was before the internet really took off, because I worked for America Online, and I had no clue I would be doing what I'm doing right now, not an inkling. What I did is I just let it all kind of fall in front of me, I guess, and I was this novice trying to do all of this by herself. And so talk about those times. It's probably a little bit easier now to do what I'm doing. But then, I mean, you know, they talk to you like, well, where are you coming from? You know, I had this idea of bringing everything to a site, and sites were just really evolving. I mean, you know, the browsers have gone bonkers now. There's so many of them. But it's the same kind of thing. That's an entrepreneur. When you start something that's not really ever been done before, and I'm sure somewhere somebody did a site, but not like mine. I wanted it to be a place where everybody could come for whatever they needed, and that's exactly what I told everybody when I hosted an AOL. So I understand the struggle. So you're absolutely right. I mean, but I didn't really think about it though. Andrea, I just kind of went for it. They told me I was going to do a magazine. The girls met in my living room, and I'm just using this as an example. And I said, I'm going to do what? Well, you have to do a magazine, an e-zine. Oh, jeez, I thought another thing I have to do, because I had started my first site, which is now the hub of what I have. And I thought, where am I going to get all the information for this? Well, it evolved, right?
This
is where it is right now, but it took time. And so for those listening that's saying, well, I've got this idea, and how long does it take? It's going to take as long as it takes. You cannot push it, period. Just do the work. But make sure it's your passion, because if it's your passion, then the universe is going to help. I mean, it's going to bring everything to you, like doing interviews like this. In April and March, I never thought I'd be doing this, and I love it. I love it. And so
You not only had no choice, you listened to that subtle vibration of Sponda, which is what you were listening to. You got really quiet. And you could only do what that vibration pushed you to do. Now, not everyone is in touch with that place inside themselves. So they move into fear, and they move into getting stuck, because they don't trust that intuitive process.
That's it.
You were able to do that. So kudos to you. And believe me,
I wasn't really alone. I had a couple of people around me that they weren't encouraging me, but they weren't discouraging me. But I had all these ideas. I mean, the ideas were just falling out of the sky. And like even right now, because I have three sites and because of what I'm doing, and I'm expanding on my interviews, and it's just this door. And that's another thing. If a door opens, peek through the door. See what's there.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do it, okay. But if you do, at least give it a try. If it doesn't work, okay, slam the door behind you. That's how I look at things. But I haven't found anything, Andrea, that has come to me that has not been beneficial to me personally and to all the people that work for me and my sites.
Mm-hmm.
It's all intertwined.
Yeah.
And it was not my idea in the first place. It just came from the divine. I mean, all of it. All of it.
Well,
you're in touch with that. Yes, I am. I really, really am. And it's exciting. I mean, I've ventured into a new arena. I call them arenas. You'd think there was a lion there. But I ventured into something new for me, doing this since May. And whoever I get, I'm booked until at least December now, and I'm just waiting on some confirmations. And I thought, oh, God, who am I going to interview? Well, I didn't even have to. I mean, I'm sitting back, and they're just coming to me. And I haven't even put the word out yet.
Yeah, you're in the best spot possible because people want to be interviewed, you know, if they have something
right.
to share. Now, just imagine, though, being an employee at a company, not being an entrepreneur, and not being used to having to pivot and shift like you're
right.
having to do, like I'm
yes.
having to do, and not trust. So this is why I created this workshop. It's to exercise that part of the brain that they're not used to using in their workday so they can refresh, recalibrate, free themselves from repetitive behaviors. So they return to work with more enthusiasm and confidence and agility and able to
mm-hmm.
pivot more easily so that they start to cultivate that entrepreneurial spirit even as employees. So
exactly.
I'm always looking like, where's the hole? Buckminster
yeah.
Fuller used to say, where's the hole and fill it? And for me,
not fall in it, but fill it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I have a caller, Andrea. I don't mean to. Let me see what this caller wants. Hold on just a minute. It might be a question. I'm sure it's a question for you or a comment. Do you mind if somebody asks you something?
Not at all. I love questions.
Okay, hold on. Let's get to this and see. Looks like they just want to listen, which is fine. Sometimes that happens. What I like about Blog Talk Radio is it gives you that, you know, that way to connect with people. But there's some things, you know, it's funny. See, my mind is working so fast. There's some ways I could fix this that would be much better. Well, you know, I wanted to do you yesterday, an interview yesterday, and they wouldn't let me do two episodes. And you know what Dia said? She says, well, obviously they haven't talked to Natalie. Because I convinced them they'd have to do it because that's what I do. That's another thing. And it's exciting. And you're actually fanning the fire. You know, you're making my fire get even bigger and bigger and brighter and brighter because I'm getting all these ideas that I've had. And, you know, you'll get ideas and you probably get it too from people. Oh, you should do this. You should do that. Well, I'm kind of intellectual about it. I'll look at it and say, well, okay, but then you got to do this, and then you got to do this. And I have a webmaster who's just wonderful, and I've known him. We've worked together for 9 years, so I'm blessed with that. So he knows, uh-oh, she's quiet. She's thinking of something, and that's true. That's really true. But
well, I have
but anybody that they should get your – they should go out and get the cards at least. I think that would really help them. And your book – now this book –
Well,
it was put out in 2012, correct?
Well, before we switch gears, I have a card I wanted to read for you because
okay,
of the
awesome.
Experience you just shared. This is one just for you. It's called Magical Encounters. Synchronicities
oh, wow.
are meaningful coincidences. They evoke a sense of magic and wonder. Are you noticing them? See how they appear for you today. And you open the booklet and it says, synchronicities are coincidences of a higher octave. They are a form of grace and manifest when circumstances fall together in time and place. You see a sign on a bus that affirms your path. Someone sits next to you in a restaurant who turns out to be the CEO you've been trying to reach. These coincidences accelerate a sense of unity and confirmation.
Yeah.
They transform an ordinary moment into magical timing and spur us on, encouraging us to persevere. And the takeaway is, watch for these significant encounters. They can appear in obscure or obvious places to reveal a direction our intellect may resist. Keep watching. The more you are aware of their subtle appearance, the more you will see them at work. They enrich creativity and affirm our enterprise. So you have been seeking them. You find them. You see them. You're looking, you know, it's like you're following.
I had it yesterday. I had something happen yesterday that I have this desire to go to Africa, and people have heard this story before, but I bought this gentleman's book. He's a photographer, pretty well known. Well, he, you know, we started emailing, and I posted things on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, I got the book, and I sobbed, because Natalie doesn't cry, and I put that to him. I told him that. I said, I received your book, and I sobbed. My son was here, and because it's these beautiful pictures of all the animals that I so want to see up close and personal. But then the key to it, Andrea, was I'm writing a story about a couple who gets married and they go to Africa. This was before I met this gentleman, or, you know, contacted him at all. And she, this is like their honeymoon. This is something she's always wanted to do. He's got the money and, okay, we'll do it. We'll go. But she gets lost. She wanders off. But so it's a magical kind of a fairy tale kind of thing. I can see it all in my head. I just have to get it down in words. But I haven't told this photographer about it yet, but he's going to fall on the floor because I've had this for probably a year. And now you see what happened, and I recognized this yesterday. I got the book, and he wrote me back. Now I'm going to feature him in my magazine because I had this other idea. So the synchronicities, the divine timing, it's like, okay, Natalie did this. Now we're going to let her see this and then this and then this. And I'm not looking to be famous. I just want to do things that will make people feel good. And my magazine does that. And you know, so that's synchronicities. I recognized it as soon as I got the book, my eyes, I mean, after I was sobbing, I mean, I was so touched. And what he wrote in the book, I told him, just say to Natalie, that's because he's pretty famous. I said, that's all I want you to do. He said, okay, I got it. You got it. He told me on Instagram, it's your book shipped. Well, I opened it, and here's this beautiful inscription from this man who doesn't know me from Adam or Eve. And I was floored. That's what got to me, because it synchronized with my story and my love for wildlife. And I have a love for people, too. But, you know, the animals, they can't have somebody shoot somebody because somebody's going to shoot at. Oh, they do. If you're a poacher, you have to beware. But it was his inscription. He took the time to write this to me. And it made me feel like, oh, my gosh, I get it. I get it. That's the synchronicities. That's all divine timing. But you have to believe in it, too, I think, Andrea. You have to be like I am. Everybody knows that's listening knows what I'm about. I mean, I end my show with believe in things you cannot see because they really are there, because I've had things happen in my life. But so you start to believe. And it makes you feel like, okay, bring it on. I'll recognize it. But I think once you recognize, you recognize. And so now I'm not really out there looking totally, but I know things are going to keep evolving for me regarding this Africa and these photographs and this gentleman and my story. It's all connected, all of it. And
you're in the flow. You're in the flow.
Yeah.
And
but
so
what a perfect card for me.
That's
a perfect card. Yes, it was perfect for me. You know, my granddaughter says to me, she says, you know, Graham, she says, you're so magical. You just believe in all. I said, yes, I do. I even got her take a little bit on my story to incorporate because she's 14, because I want it to affect the younger people. I want them to start believing in things that don't be so cynical. Don't, that's not right. That's not going to happen.
So,
how do you know? Did somebody come down and tell you? No.
This is
inscription.
This is
I'm going to read it because you're going to want to hear this. Natalie, maybe this book will inspire you to make that visit to Africa. Thanks so much for your support of all wildlife, and thanks also for your friendship to me. Best wishes and big hugs. His name is Billy Dodson, and I was blown away by what he wrote. I just expected it to be too Natalie, but you see, he got a feeling from what I wrote to him that something. And I wrote him back because he's sending me images now. He said, well, what resolution do you want? I said, I said, you can send me anything you want. Can you take it this way, this way, this way? But he doesn't even know about my story, but I did write an email tell him, one day I'm going to tell you about my story. He's going to fall off his chair.
So you being in this flow, understand that's what people are seeing in terms of being magical in your life. But now imagine all those people who are, like you said, cynical, and they mm-hmm. end up sabotaging the magic and
right.
move out of flow because of the doubt and the fear and the cynicism. And it's so
And that's exactly what can happen.
Slip and slide into that modality, and it's so painful because once you go down that slope, man, it's not so easy to climb back up.
No. No, but this is all divine to me. Every bit that's happened in the last 3 days, I get it. I get it. I got it. I get it. I
yeah.
got it. And I know that what I'm doing, and, you know, I have this gal like that does my copy, and she said to me, don't you see? I said, I see. I said, but I can't really this is partially a real story. It's actually me in the story. And I know who the man is, but I haven't met him yet. He knows who I am, but he hasn't come forth yet. But you see, what this story is doing is it's moving out more and more and more, and the universe is, okay, I got this, okay, she would like this in her life, okay. And I can't really continue with the story until we touch base with each other. This is the man I will marry. I already know. And the story is about he. Pardon me?
Do you know who he is?
Sure I do. Well, I say no.
Oh.
You know why? Because I don't want to interrupt anything, you could call it magical, that will happen. I don't want anybody's negative influence on it. I don't want their take on it. I don't really
yeah.
care what they think because it's mine, and it's mine to keep. And, you know, they're going to say, oh, happen. Well, really? Did somebody come and tell you that it can't? That's how strong I believe in it. And so I hesitate with the story a little bit because I mean, I know the ending. It's a beautiful ending. And, but yeah. And I, you know, I'm envious of people like yourself, Andrea, who can sit down and finish something that's been a dream of theirs because some people like myself struggle. But I think I'm going to be able to do it now because I'm being guided. I'm being really guided. The frequency
oh, yeah.
is really
just
high
listening.
For me.
You'll be able to finish everything you start, you know. And it really takes passion, tenacity. I'm amazed at these screenwriters who just, you know, they don't even care if their scripts get made. They just keep writing script and script and script. I can't do that.
I know.
You know?
I don't even know that world, but I can imagine.
And that book gets published. You know, it's like as soon as that book was, my novel was done, it got picked up a week later from Hay House. And as soon as I came back to California saying, it's time for this movie to be made, that next week, the first week I was here, I met this producer.
See that?
I mean,
divine, all divine timing, all synchronicity.
So
at the, yeah.
So, but
there
it's
are thousands
so
of us out there
like
that have had things happen to them, but you got to recognize it.
It's so easy, like you said, to listen to other people and the naysayers and their casting doubts, and we have to be
right.
very careful, like guarding.
What it does
heart.
Is it puts negative energy around it. When you are flying high with this, you, like I was told yesterday, she said my frequency is really high. When you talk about things, well, it's going to stay there because it's almost like you're on a mission. You just know. How do I know? Well, I just know. I've had things. I had something happen to me when I almost died, and it stuck with me, and it took years, probably 30 years, for me to realize everything that I was supposed to be doing, and I don't think I'm done yet. My gal told me I should really do an audio of my book, not necessarily the written, because she said to me, she says, they have to hear you tell the story. Then they're going to believe
you,
and that's true.
You know, there are auditory learners and there are visual learners and kinesthetic learners. So I would
right.
recommend, if you would like, to do both.
Right, okay.
Just like put that cassette in the car and listen to books. I have to get Pushing Upward read orally. So it's an audio. So, and but there are some people who want to cuddle up in bed and read your story. So write
right.
the book, and, you know, even if it's an ebook, they can always download it or look at it on their, read it on their computer. But you
right.
want to, you want to have as many audiences as
I
possible.
I want them to be able to see it. Right, exactly. You're right.
Yeah. So I you know,
yes.
I love talking about this stuff. I love talking to you about this stuff because it feeds my soul. When my son was five years old, we were living in a huge meditation center in upstate New York. And I brought home this murdung, this Indian drum one day, and he started playing it. Now, it's not an easy drum to play, and you have to know these tekas. You know, it's an Indian drum with the drums on both sides. And he just took to that drum like a duck to water. And I went, oh, my God, this kid's got a gift. So I bought him a drum. He started practicing and taking lessons on the drum. And then he graduated from that. And then we moved out. I got him an electronic drum set. And I didn't hear him practice for 2 years because we were in a very small condo. And then all of a sudden I heard him play. He was amazing. Anyway, I always knew that I would never have to pay for college for this kid. And all his friends' parents thought I was nuts. Like, how do you support a musician? You know, how do you support, doesn't make it as a musician? I said, are you kidding? This kid's going to be huge. I always knew. So he got a full scholarship to New England Conservatory of Music. One of three drummers accepted. He now plays in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Just at Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, he plays all over with several bands and operas and fusion and klezmer and opera and very versatile. I knew this at 5 years old.
Wow.
We trust those instincts.
Right, yeah. That's another thing,
parents,
too. Now, do you think that when you're young, when you're, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, that that all of this is kind of there? It just takes a little bit of time, wisdom, and years of experience before it actually comes and blossoms for you. Do you think, like you and I, I'm trying to think when I was a little girl, I don't know about you, I really didn't, I read a lot and I listened to a lot of music. I mean,
yeah.
I read a lot. And I could read more advanced than kids in my grade. So that was something I had going for me. But, I mean, I wonder if you're really young when you really know some things, or maybe it takes the experience in the world before you start to develop anything. What do you think?
Well, I don't think my son just enjoyed the music. It was very healing. You know, the drum is a very primal instrument. So all he felt was that primal support that he was feeling, and it was a very healing instrument for him. So he wasn't thinking his future, but I knew this kid has a gift. Not many people at that age know how to create those tekas on a drum, you know, on an Indian drum.
Right, right.
So it wasn't that he understood his future, but my parents never watched or listened to me and my desires to be an actress. I struggled for years to get their attention. And finally, when I moved away from Michigan and pursued my dream, they still never had my back. But I had this force of nature, and I stopped listening to anybody but myself. And not that I don't have mentors now that I listen to, of course, but there's a resonance now of those who really understand who you are and back you.
I have a mentor, too, but you have to be careful, and I'm telling people this. If you have an idea, a dream, whatever it is, and you hear something from your mentor that tries to tell you, that's not real, you need to run. You need to hold back all of that. Don't give up your dream because somebody says to you, that's wrong. I mean, how could that possibly happen for you? You know, you're a nobody from Nobodyville. I know that's awful to say, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not well-known all over the world. Well, I am in certain circles, but you know what I'm saying? You have to be careful. Don't let the mentors run your life.
Somebody I knew very well, they weren't a mentor, but, you know, they had a lot of wisdom about certain things, and they tried to talk me out of writing, pushing upward, and spending time on the film, and I started to listen.
There you go.
And then I got very depressed, and I went, what is going on? And I went, why am I even listening to this character? It is so subtle and so insidious when we start to listen to other people more than ourselves. And you nailed it, exactly. And it's very subtle. That's why I meditate every day. That's why I chant every day, to connect to Source. So I'm really listening to myself and other people and whether that resonates or not.
Right. Yeah, you have to really be careful, because somebody could throw water on your idea, your dream, or what you've already started, and that's gonna pull you back. That whole energy is gonna change for you. Don't let it do that. If you really believe, like you and I do things, and I know from talking to you and what you've done, and you don't even know what I've done, but you know, you can hear it. Don't let them do that. Just. Okay, I value your opinion. Walk away and say to yourself, well, yeah, that's your opinion. It's not mine. Discard it. Just completely. And go forth, so that the universe, the divine, whatever you believe in now, not everybody believes like you and I do, but whatever you believe in, let it guide you. Let things come to you. Let those synchronicities appear before you, because there is no such thing as a coincidence.
You know, I was on Broadway and in a Neil Simon play, Chapter 2, my favorite line that he had written was, and sometimes we have to move out of the mind and allow the body to show us what to do. Just the other night, I was at a meditation center chanting, and I play my tambourine at all the chants, and the drummer, who hadn't drummed in about 5 or 6 years, I was very apprehensive. And I said, stop thinking. The body knows exactly what to do. You've done it before. And if you allow your mind to move away, and he started to do that, and it came back in a flash. And as soon as his mind got involved, he missed a beat. I'm telling you, this is the spiritual path. This is the tightrope, the tight wire that we walk on.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, we're mavericks. And I tell you, it takes a lot of work to be joyful.
Well, it does, you know, and the gal that I interviewed yesterday, she does empowerment, and she was talking to me about me on the air, and she said, you know, sometimes I've heard your voice, and I could tell right away something was not right. But she said, listen to yourself today. Listen to the show today. She said, you just have to stay like this. She said, I'm telling you, wonderful things are coming your way. You've only, you know, touched the iceberg. I mean, and I think the iceberg's probably melting. It's just nice water, and I'm going to go gliding along. But you know, it's really true. It's a state of mind, But, you know, what I do is I have all these people that want to talk to me, and I have to be careful. That's why I don't tell them very much, because I can't. I can't let them invade that space. I can't. I won't.
I'm so glad.
Well, let's see. We've got about 7 minutes left here. This has been so wonderful. I'm going to have to have you back.
Natalie, I love that you said it's a state of mind, because on the Pushing Upward page, it says, pushing upward is not a bra. It's a state of mind.
That's right. That's right.
So
ladies, heed those words. It's true, you know, and a lot of things are going on about women today, and I love it. I love it. And when I was growing up, women were just, you know, extensions of the husband, and they were, you know, very few people went to college and all that kind of stuff. Oh, if I was just 30 years younger, what I could do. But then I'll say to myself, nah, Natalie, you're doing everything at the right moment in time.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You can't look back. You don't read a book backwards. So don't do that. Just got to keep going forward and forward. And I want to mention your sites again before our time is up. We have 6 minutes, so we have time. One of them is Holistic, HOLISTICPR.com. You can see all the books and her CDs and these beautiful cards that are in the round. I like to say that, in the round, that she pulled one for me. Magical. God, if I tell my granddaughter that, she's going to say, see, Graham, see? She knew. But
exactly.
And then your other one is pushingupward.com, P-U-S-H-I-N-G-U-P. Yes, and you can, and links to Amazon for everything is there, and you can read all about Andrea and her beautiful work. You've just done, you know, I'm amazed.
You forgot to mention the Sponda cards. Sponda cards.
Yeah, that's what I said, the cards in the round. Sponda cards,
well,
yes.
That's a separate email, a separate website.
Oh, it
so
is. I didn't find
PR.
That one.
Sponda cards.
It's Sponda, Sponda, S-P-A-N-D-A-P-R?
S as in Sam, P as in Paul,
yep. Uh-huh.
A-N-D-A, cards.com.
Oh, cards. Okay, well, let's do that. Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For the entrepreneurial spirit. There it is. There it is. Awesome. Awesome. And and there's a book that goes with it. And now, when did these get released? Are these, have they just come out, or?
These came out a few days ago.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's why Dia wanted you on the show. See, because she knows me. Natalie's going to talk about everything and anything, and she's not going to waste 1 minute on the air, and I don't. And that's why I don't like to go by a printed, you know, media sheet or anything, because I just like to talk, you know.
Right,
It's much nicer. I mean, it's like we've known each other for years and we just met.
It's great.
Because
it's
we're
great.
Of the
we're
same,
totally
we're of the same mind.
Page. Yeah. I
yeah,
wanted to say
we're
that
of the same.
If people are interested, this is a really great gift for the holidays. I mean, this Sponda deck is such a great gift to give people who are in business, who are entrepreneurs, use it on their desk, pick up a card no matter what's going on in their life. And just to have that as a partner, you know, doing business is, I mean, and people don't have to worry about holiday gifts anymore. They can just buy in bulk,
right,
and get a huge.
No, it does make
amount.
A great gift. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it can apply. You can probably pull one every day, and it will apply in some manner and just read
exactly.
The interpretation, but also read the initial, probably they're like keywords, I'm assuming, and what that was mine was magical and something after it, but it was the interpretation.
Magical,
yeah.
Encounter.
So, yeah,
if there's a company that wants to have a custom deck with, like, we're approaching Google, for instance, they may want Google name on it. You know, or
okay.
Oracle name on
yeah.
it. They can
yeah.
have that too by calling the publisher Beyond Word. So, yeah, they're available and they are a great gift. You know, people buy wine or they buy
oh,
beer.
Oh, we've got 90 seconds here. So, of course, I want to thank you, Andrea. And maybe once the movie
thank
gets
you.
Going, we can have
yeah.
you back sometime first of the year or something. And email me with your articles. Or you can go through Dia if you didn't write it down. And you're wonderful. I love you. I'm very honored that you. Yes, that would be wonderful. But I'm honored that you decided to do this and we could get you in with your busy schedule, because I just know how busy you are. So anyways, everybody, I'll see you next week, next Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m., of course. We have somebody from Chile going to be on the show. I'm just going everywhere. And remember, believe in things you cannot see, because they really are there. Look forward to hearing from you, Andrea, in email, okay?
God bless, Natalie. Take care. Thank you so much.
Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.